Just a friendly reminder that the opinions expressed on this show are not worth a Canadian penny, so disregard anything you hear that might get anyone in trouble. And despite some of the great ideas you may hear, don't try them at home. Go to a friend's house instead.
It's time to get a gun. That's what I've been thinking. Well, I could afford one. And if I did just a little less drinking, time to put something between me and the sun. Time to get a gun.
Hello and welcome to episode 88 of Slamfire Radio for the week of December 19th, 2014. I'm one of your hosts, sometimes, Trevor the Frelate.
Yeah, Trevor, I was wondering, I didn't think I was ever going to hear your voice again.
Oh, well, there you go.
Okay, that was awkward.
Yeah, it was.
I'm Owen.
And I'm Matthew, and welcome to the train wreck.
Yeah. Oh, and this is where we're supposed to put in the funny banter.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Trevor, okay. I didn't think I'd hear your voice again. Oh, wait, no. Owen tried that. It didn't work.
Does it matter that we talk on the phone almost every day?
No. No, that doesn't count.
To me every day. Okay. You don't talk to me every day.
I knew you were going to say that. And my answer to that is... Well, you're busy, and I don't want to bother you.
Are you cheating on me with Matthew?
All right. This is why.
Oh, my.
Oh, heavens. So, Slamfire needs a new host, and it's not to replace me.
Huh.
That's, yeah. Hmm. So, anyway.
Good times, yeah.
So, how do you want to do this? Do we want to put my 14 weeks of stuff first or last?
Yeah, no, why don't you go ahead. You start us off here.
All right, so is that not a lot of stuff, to be honest? The hands down, the coolest thing I did while I was battling computer issues was we all went to visit Filthy for his 50th. Oh, should I say that?
Yeah, he's
all kinds of old. Who cares? Apparently, the Empire does not restrict or discriminate based on age. So we went to Filthy's birthday party, the three of us and some lovely wives. And the next day, he took me to visit a privately owned firearms museum, commonly referred to as a machine gun museum. And all I can say is, wow, I was in there for 4 hours and I only left because my back gave out. I was wearing combat boots and I couldn't stand up anymore.
Lasted 4 hours? I think we were there for like an hour tops.
Oh, man. Well, see, I like guns more than you guys do, so I appreciate it. Yeah. So I was even oogling and drooling over Lee Enfields, and they were some of the absolute nicest that I had ever seen.
Well, I mean, come on. Mine's pretty nice.
Yeah, it sure is. It's got that $60 plastic Monte Carlo stock from Cabela's. It's great. No.
Oh, my. And that fiber optic front sight, don't forget that. That's period.
They had those back then. Highlights would have been I enjoyed the Uzi. I enjoyed the Mac. I had my suspicions confirmed after handling a Chinese-made fully auto AK-47. Didn't even want to, but he's like, would you like to handle the AK? I guess.
But, so my suspicions were confirmed?
That they're junk. You know, maybe if you get a new build and deck it all out and stuff with a machined receiver and not one that's plates riveted together. They're just junk, man. The gas tube and the front sight didn't even line up. Like, they were all twisted and stuff. It was, anyway.
Yeah, well, they're mass-produced and, you know, designed to just throw them together and, you know, they're not really, yeah, I would agree with you. It's not, not a high end, not a high end gun.
There was, quite a few, I mean, some of the nicest, I can't remember now if it was I think it was an M14. Yeah. There was we played the little game afterwards, name that if you could take 10 firearms out of that museum, which would it be? Three of them for me were revolvers, actually. One of them was an M14, probably one of those Enfields. There was M1 carbines and M2 carbines. The difference being fully auto car, M1 carbines. Well, they're not M1 carbines, and they're fully auto, they're M2. But anyway, suppressors. I got to handle an actual legit M4 fully auto, and by handle, I mean I ripped it apart so I could look at the trigger group and how it was made. Oh, yeah. It was,
yeah, I didn't even think about taking anything apart. I figured he just would have crushed my skull if I tried it, so I just didn't. But I suppose you're almost the same size as him, so you were able to get away with it.
I don't know. I'm nicer. I don't know. I was there for 4 hours, so... I mean, I went in very timid and shy. Well, actually, no. For the first 2 or 3 minutes that I was there, I couldn't speak. I just kind of made sounds and responded with giggles and murmurs. I was very overwhelmed. Yeah. I mean, just the amount of firearms that are in there, and since some of them are quite rare and quite unique. And then there's 2 or 3, you know, MP40. So if you have one, no, he's got 3 or 4 of them. I mean, just, you know, a Browning, a bar, just some crazy, you know, some Sten guns, Bren. Anyway, I mean, I could talk about it for hours, but
about four hours probably.
Yeah. The three revolvers that really impressed me, of course, there was a 4-inch Colt King Cobra. And if anybody's been listening to me long enough, they remember me just absolutely going crazy when I got to shoot one out in Calgary, Ross Laurie. We wanted to try it out. They wouldn't let us try it out, so he bought it so we could try it out. That was awesome. Yeah. So the Colt Python – or no, sorry, not Colt Python. Colt King Cobra, just beautiful. And then there were two tricked out – they're basically tuned for IPSC, two Smith & Wesson revolvers, one in .357 Magnum and one in .44. And they were really nice. And I mean, hammers shaved and triggers lightened and fiber optics and dry fired the heck out of them. Just had a great old time. A whole wall of lever actions. Anyway, I hope to get back there with Pierre Luc, actually, because who likes Milserv more than Pierre Luc?
I don't think anybody does.
Yeah, so.
Love it in there.
Gonna try and, I've kind of dropped the ball. Well, Pierre Luc and I are talking about going over Christmas, but I haven't even begun to talk to Filthy yet.
Right.
So hopefully Filthy's trying to make it to the New Year's Eve party that everybody's all invited to.
Right.
By everybody, I mean you guys, not all the listeners.
So. Yeah, all the listeners. Let me just tell you where to go. It's
Flash Mob.
Yeah, stop by, say hi.
Yeah, and then leave. Drop off here.
Yeah. Pierre Luc's supposed to be there, so it'll be nice. Him and Filthy will get talking about that museum, I'm sure. So, anyway, that was by far the highlight. Other than that, just some things that I've been keeping myself busy with while I've been not podcasting. My new scope came in for my model 111 Savage. I got a Vortex 3-9x40 Viper. Loves it. It's very, very nice and very crystal clear. The turrets are resetting, really easy to adjust. The rings that I have currently, I put a one-piece Weaver rail on the gun, and then I put on a set of steel Grand Slam rings, but they're too high, even though they're mediums. I can get the scope lower to the rifle, so I got some low ones on the way for that, so that'll get it down there a little closer to the bore. The Versamax is back together. I'd like to... throw out a big special thank you to Nathan at Osprey Ordnance. Once again, if you don't buy Osprey Ordnance components for your shotgun, you are a communist.
Is that their slogan or something?
Yeah.
It applies in certain situations, and this is one of them. Osprey Ordnance, shop there, you're a commie. Bolt release. I broke the I don't know if I broke it or what happened, but anyway, the part that you screw the bolt release button that sits on the outside of the receiver, that piece that you screw into is supposed to be welded to the lever on the inside, and it broke, and so I couldn't tighten down the extended bolt release that I got from Osprey Ordnance. So he's like, send it out to me, I'll take care of it. So I mailed it out to BC. Not only did he take care of it, then he polished this thing, and it looks like glass now. Like, it's completely deburred and shiny like a mirror. So he did a fantastic job, and I really appreciate that. Now I just got to put some ammo through it. I'm hoping to get to the range on Saturday with Muffin to shoot the M&P I bought a couple of months or like a month ago. I haven't shot it yet. I was going to set in my 30-06, but since I'm going to replace the rings, no point. So I'm going to try and get this out, get my M&P out. And,
since you're talking about the M&P, did you see the
list? I saw that. Thank you. Yeah. A little public service announcement there from Chris Costa. Oh, yeah. By the way, kids, M&Ps are blowing up on my classes.
Yeah, that's scary. I mean, that's a pretty nice gun, pretty high regarded gun, pretty popular gun, and then they're blowing up. Like, that's not good for especially, you know, for all the people who own them out there, Trevor.
Well, there's a lot of them out there too.
There are. Yeah. So I wonder if it's something, you know, a bad batch, or if it's it'd be nice to get some more info on that.
If one instructor, I mean, granted, he's a pretty big instructor, but if one instructor has seen several of it, seen it happen several times, you know, isn't like there's like 15 instructors who've had two or three cases between him. It's one instructor who's had a number of cases. Like,
yeah. So you're saying Chris Costa is the kryptonite of Smith & Wesson.
I think he's filing the crowns, basically trying to get them to break because he hates them, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You heard it here first, folks.
Chris Costa hates M&Ps. So you can send your lawsuit to Matthew McClatchy.
Yeah, that was Owen talking. Shh, wasn't me.
So what else did I do? Oh, I remember the whole green that came out of the barrel on the 30-30. Well, I did that with the rest of the firearms in the house, just because the amount of snow that we have, we got another 25 centimeters between last night and today. Like, I don't know if I'm going to get to the range on Saturday. I'm going to try. But so with that in mind, I oiled all my barrels and discovered, actually, I got bored and decided to wipe the oil out of my Smith & Wesson 686. And the barrel was quite leaded up. The ballast all was sitting in there for about a week. And when I ran a patch through it, quite a bit of lead came out on the patch. And I looked inside there and it just was horrible looking. I didn't realize that it was so leaded, so I've been trying to get the lead out of that.
Get the lead out, would ya?
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of discouraging me from, I've got like 2,000 lead projectiles I was going to load over the winter for that thing. This is, they make the gun black and filthy, and the forcing cone gets all black and full of lead, barrel gets full of lead, but they're just so cheap. So anyway, I mean,
lead is soft, right? It'll just, you know, build up, and the next bullet pushes a little bit off and adds a bit more on, and I'm sure it'll be fine.
It's painted clean. I picked up some reloading dies and the brass prepping stuff for my 30-06. I've got some projectiles in the mail, so I'll try some load up.
You'll be single loading that stuff, right, on your...
Absolutely,
yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. Not gonna Dillon 650 that.
No, I just do that with the bulk 20 223 ammo, like for plinking AR stuff, right?
Right.
Set it to 24 grains and of H335 and just go. That's Ryan Bulliver's plinking recipe. So
right.
So anyway, back to the Versamax though. The when I ran it in the last three gun match, there's three of us running it and all of us experienced a failure to feed, where the shell was hitting the side of the chamber. And so I really, really, like, it's factory clean now. It's been completely torn down and degreased and reassembled with light oil. So I'm hoping that the problem was just a dirty gun and not a problem with a misaligned lifter or something. Really, really hoping. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know. So I've been spending money recently. I bought something that if I would have thought twice, I would have tested this gun. If this gun was starting to malfunction, I would upgrade it to a Benelli, but we'll get to that here in a minute. What else? We got the last gun for the prize table for SummerSlam. So we've got four guns going on the prize table for SummerSlam.
Have we talked about what they are yet?
No, we're not going to.
Oh, it's a surprise.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Actually, somebody said I should be talking about what they are, and it might help draw some people in, but you know, there's two IPSC pistols, one plinking pistol, and one black semi-automatic magazine-fed rifle that has a pistol grip. How's that?
That's pretty clear.
All right. I went to the Miramichi and taught a range officer's class. There were supposed to be 8 people, which is big for a New Brunswick range officer class, and unfortunately, 2 people dropped out unexpectedly at the last minute. But the 6 that had did an awesome job, and they know the material, and they've got a willingness to learn, and they all brought a little bit something different to the class. So it was a lot of fun. And the Omni Lower from the Daniel Shaw Clinic. You remember that one, Matthew?
Mm-hmm.
I had robbed the stock, the receiver extension off of my Remington 59722. So it's been, I reassembled that gun and the Omni's been sitting there with nothing. So I ordered that for myself for Christmas.
Oh, that's my, cool.
One of my Christmas gifts. Yeah. So that'll get
Com-spec or mil-spec?
I think everything I have is commercial. I think.
It's not important. I was just curious.
Yeah. I should have.
Are you all right? Sounds like yeah, you just fell on your head.
No, that was just the AR hitting the coffee table.
Right.
Mil-spec. I hope I ordered mil-spec because all my other stuff is mil-spec.
Right.
So I ordered the buffer tube from Brownells and the stock from Questar. What else did I order? It says that the last thing I wrote was that the open gun was for sale so that I could buy a Colt SA-20. The last episode of Modern Rifleman Radio was second, as far as quality, was second only to the one that I was on.
Right,
that one obviously is the best one.
Right,
but after that, exactly. Yeah. But they had this gentleman by the name of Matt who works for Colt Canada. He's a military guy and just fantastic, like phenomenal dude, like really well spoken, knows his stuff. And I could have just listened to him forever. After listening to that episode with him and Bolivar and Ken talk about Colt Canada and DeMaco products, I had to have one. So put the open gun for sale with the intention of buying an SA-20. And then for some reason, I mean, they're expensive. It was going to take all of the money that I got for the open gun and a bit more to put an L can on it. I was kind of after the whole C7 clone type thing. I wanted to put an L can on as well and just kind of leave it. I kind of questioned the motives for why I wanted it. I wanted it just to add to the collection. Probably for, you know, as far as duty style ARs goes, I really like my NEA, but it's Canadian made. It looks like a C7, which is what our troops are using. And I don't think they're going to be around forever, the 30th anniversary thing. And when they're gone, they're gone. I got the impression that they're not, and I could be wrong. So Brian, correct me if I am, but I got the impression that they're not going to mass produce these and flood the market with them and just get into the game full time as Colt Canada DeMaco. So the other thing was if and when we get our ARs back and can shoot if ARs become non-restricted, well, I expect the price will go up. So I'd like to have one on hand already. Barrels, yeah, okay. But even 18-inch barrels will go up in price. So those were all the rationales for why I wanted to get the SA-20. But I got to work on Wednesday morning, and before I could figure out why I was buying a VZ-58, I had bought a VZ-58. It was almost like when it was done, I kind of sobered up and went, what did I just do? I'm pretty sure I wasn't drinking because I was at work. So, but yeah, I really, it was so totally impulsive. And now I'm kind of, honestly.
That's not anything like you, Trevor, to do something impulsive.
I know, but this is really impulsive even for me, Owen.
Wow.
And it's not even here yet, and already I regret buying it. So I justified it like this. I got it with the magazine adapter for AR mags, and it's the new one made by CSA, the same company that makes the gun, so it's supposed to be better and supposed to work. The first generation ones were pretty unreliable. It's non-restricted. So it can be, and I got it in 223, even though I like the 7.62x39 CZ858 that I had, amazing gun. I bought this one in 5.56 because of our caliber restrictions. So this can replace the T97 as a trunk gun.
I approve your purchase.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea.
Yep. I don't know. It's non-restricted. It's 5.56. They do say that polymer mags don't work in them, so I'm not sure what I'm going to have to do to get my Beowulf mags in there, but I'm going to do something. And collapsible stock. I mean, sure, it's cool, but I'm such an AR guy now that I just... And the other thing was, it's a heck of a lot less. It's $1,000 less. I'm trying to save money for a truck, so the extra $1,000 is going to go towards the truck fund. possibly. I've also got a deal kind of on the side with the guy who's buying it. Like, he made a deposit because it's Christmas. I didn't expect him to fork over the whole asking price right up front. So he said, give me a deposit and then give me some time. I was like, absolutely. So with the balance that's coming, I could put it towards the truck, but I also told him, hey, you know, why don't you see if you can get a Tanfoglio Stock 3 Extreme for the same price as what you owe me from the from Freedom Ventures. And if you can, great, I'll take that. And if you can't, then maybe you can get me a Stock 3 Special Edition with some magazines. Because, you know, I miss my Stock 3, and this would be an opportunity to get one, and I don't have a Stock 3, and whatever. I don't know. It's a mess.
Yeah, it's an option, too. It's hard to drive one of those through the mud in the woods, though.
It is. It is. But I am still saving for the truck. And yeah.
The truck's still going to happen regardless. It's just sooner or later is all it is.
The benefit of putting that money into the truck as opposed to putting it into a gun is I either get the truck sooner or I get more truck because now my budget just went up. So, yeah. So anyway, that took too long. But Owen, you got nothing in the notes, so I'll skip over you because you don't know enough putting the notes. You don't get a turn. Matthew, what did you do with guns?
Well, I shot with Owen. So Owen, why don't you tell us about what happened when we shot together?
Yeah, well, that's why there's nothing in the notes, because what I did with guns, Matthew did with guns. It's kind of one and the same this week. On what day? Oh, my, I can't remember what day it was.
Saturday?
Yeah. Saturday. Saturday, Matt was down, and we, I had previously the day before, had found these, what were they called? Firebird targets.
Firebird, yeah.
They're sort of like Tannerite, but they're not.
Yeah, no, well, no, they're them. Not, they're not like Tannerite at all. They're an exploding target like
Tannerite.
Yeah, they make a flash and a bang when you shoot it, but it's not near the same power as what Tannerite has.
They're small little discs, maybe the biggest ones
sizes.
Are. Yeah, a couple inches across. They have rifle, shotgun, and
Owen, aren't they all? They're not like Tannerite because you don't have to mix them.
That's also
right.
True.
They come all prepackaged and things like that.
Right.
The kind of the unique thing about them and what made us curious to try them was that you can set them off with a pellet gun. You don't need the 2,000 feet per second like you do for Tannerite to set them off.
So when you're shooting at a Christmas tree target in your basement with an air pistol, then you can finish with one of these.
You can
on
finish
the
with a bang. That's right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And a shower of sparks.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. Because, it did appear that these were more than just a flash. There was some sparking.
It had a pretty good bang to it too. I mean, when we shot it with a pellet gun, I didn't have my earplugs in. I just, you know, I was shooting a pellet gun, right? And when it went off, you can see the video. Owen took some video. You can see me like flinch badly when it explodes. I'm like, whoa! I was like ready to dive for cover because it was loud and noisy and scared me. So they went off with quite a bang. And so what our theory was maybe there's enough of a bang to actually set off Tannerite. So could you attach one of these to a container of Tannerite and hit it with, you know, a pellet gun or a 22 or whatever, and that explodes, and then that explosion causes the Tannerite to explode? So, of course, we had to try that.
And?
It does not.
All right. Wow, 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 wow.
Wow, wow, yeah. Big build-up for nothing.
Yeah.
But the other fun part of it was the shotgun ones, and you peel a sticker off the back and you can stick it to the inside of a clay skeets, I believe they're called,
right? Yes.
And so you throw that into the air and then you shoot them with the shotgun and they explode in the air, and that was cool
in theory.
the one time that it worked, was it one time or twice?
Yeah,
you got to go
I think
off?
It was only once where it worked in the air.
What happens is because the disc is it's horizontally attached inside the disc, and so when you throw it, you're presented with the side of the disc, and that's where the pellets hit. It needs to kind of hit it more dead on, and so we ended up like denting it, and we'd break the clay, but just the rim of the clay would come apart, the center would stay intact, and of course the center is where the explosive is, and it just, you know, so it, we ended up hand throwing them, and when we hand threw them, we didn't throw them like a frisbee, we kind of just toss them out in front of us, and that way there was a greater chance that the disc would present itself properly. And Owen did hit one that way, and it did explode quite nicely in the air. It was really cool. If we could get them to go off like that every time, you know, with a thrower, it'd be really fun to blow them out of the sky that way. But I just
definitely
see them
kinda,
as being reliable.
They sound like they're very, you know, for lack of a better term, unidirectional. They have to be struck exactly the right direction, the right angle.
That's correct. You have to shoot them, you know, side on or head on. You
can't face shoot on, them. Yeah.
Yeah, face on. There you go.
Yeah, yeah, if they get hit at an angle, it's just not enough to get the job done.
That's basically it. So they were fun to play with, and you know, it got us out, and we did some shooting, and we ended up. I mean, we had a couple quarter pounds of Tannerite out there with us anyway, just because we wanted to. One, we wanted to test it, and then if it didn't work, we wanted another quarter pound there just to shoot some, because it's fun shooting Tannerite. So we ended up shooting a quarter pound of Tannerite too. We stuck it between two great big logs. Waterlogged stumps, I guess.
So we balanced one of these things, which is probably, they weren't quite 2 feet across, but they were
probably weighed 80 pounds.
Oh yeah. Yes, we balanced it on top of a quarter pound piece of Tannerite.
So Owen hits it. There's this great big flash of smoke, and the log just settles straight down. Just,
yeah,
boom.
Just clump.
It just it didn't go anywhere. Nothing. It just, the Tannerite disappeared and it fell.
Yeah, there was nothing left. I mean, when we flipped the stump up, you couldn't even see the container at all.
There was no plastic. There was nothing. It was just gone. But it was fun. But other than that, I didn't do anything else. Owen, did you do anything else this week, gun-related? I guess
no.
The only other thing, I mean, we went shopping for pellet guns for my nephews for Christmas. I hope they don't listen, because they might be getting pellet guns for Christmas. That being said, we didn't find what we were looking for, so I didn't actually buy them any pellet guns for Christmas.
Yes. Oh, that can I throw something in? I forgot.
Okay,
Santa Claus sold me some .22 ammo.
Oh, yes. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I was at Walmart, and they call the guy to the sporting goods section, and it's freaking Santa, man. He's got the real beard going and the hat going, and so I'm calling him Santa, and when he can't figure out how to work the cash register, I'm making elf jokes, and the customer service manager comes over, so I want to call him Bernard, and if you watch the Santa Claus movies, you'll get that reference.
Yeah.
Anyway, she fixed it. He broke it again. He told me to just take your stuff to the front, man. And thanks, Santa. And off I went with my bullets through the store and 5,000 airsoft pellets for my nephew, because, you know, kids play with airsoft, not adults. But anyway.
Right.
I guess the only, now that you mentioned that, Matt, I did pick up some containers. I think they hold 20 rounds, little plastic containers for when I start reloading for 308.
So that's the cartridge containers or whatever.
Because I've been keeping all my, you know, the cardboard boxes and stuff, but they don't last that long before you open them and close them a few times and they start to wear out and stuff. So these are the nice hard plastic ones that can put them in, drop them down and look all professional.
Yeah, exactly. When you're out of the range, you can single load into your...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, those will come in handy for you for sure.
Yep.
I just end up using old boxes of 223 ammo that I had purchased previously, and I just jam it in there, use a magic marker, scribble out the brand name, and write in my load so I know what it is I'm dealing with.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I did with my 30-30. But with the Precision 308, I figured I might as well. They weren't that much money, so why not? Yeah. I would have liked to have seen them maybe in 50s.
Yeah.
They just had 20s. I would have liked to have seen them maybe in larger quantities. But
yeah. You can just tape a couple together.
Right.
That'll work. Cool. All right. Well, I guess it's Trevor's show. So, Trevor, what's next?
So, upcoming events. This year's charity is the Dalhousie Nursing Home Foundation. I believe we've only received one opinion from listeners as to whether or not we roll last year's money into this year's charity or pick another charity. So, you know, if we don't hear from more listeners soon, we'll go ahead and make a decision among the three of us. As far as this year's charity is concerned, unfortunately, the date has got to change. I've made an official request to the club to move it to June 27th. They have not responded as of yet. I was just checking my email for updates. They've all seen it. They've all read it, but none of them bothered to respond to me. So if you're listening, do your job as an executive member and answer your freaking emails.
Tell us how you really feel. No, don't. I'm kidding. Let's carry on.
Okay. Because that was with filter.
Yeah.
So as soon as I know more, you guys will know more.
That'll be good. So if it does move, then we do need to make sure that our friends who are coming from the States who need to book flights and stuff get that info as quickly as possible.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, I've already given a heads up to a few people. I know Stacy already changed her hotel reservation, which is not a big deal because, you know, usually you can change your hotel reservation a couple of days in advance. But if it happens to sell out between now and then, that's not cool. So the sooner we can make it official, the better. We have no news this week, so gentlemen, why don't we jump into our ho-ho-ho-ho merry topic?
Let's do it.
All right. So we decided that we would talk about our Christmas wish list, what we want for guns and gear for Christmas that we know our spouses, because they love and respect us, right, honey, are going to get us for Christmas this year. And then we have a special Christmas-themed email section later on as well, so... McClatchy, why don't you tell us what you would like for Christmas?
Well, this list I just kind of came up with short notice here today. I didn't really put much thought into it, but going through it, I don't see much I'd like to change. They're all kind of weird for me, but anyway, the first one's a 9mm 1911. And I'm sure all the listeners are gasping now and, you know, spewing coffee all over the place because McClatchy wants a 1911. Doesn't he hate those? Well, only a little bit.
But Matthew, I have to tell you, like, I've shot the STI Trojan, yep. And it's their kind of high end version as opposed to the Spartan. The Spartan's made out of house in the Philippines, and then they do the finishing work in house. The only difference between the two, as far as I can tell, is one is blued and one is parkerized.
Right.
And there's a better barrel in the Trojan than there is in the Spartan. So I don't know accuracy wise if it really affects it, makes the group size different, but I've shot the Trojan and I've handled the Spartan, and you know what, I want one too, truth be told. I wouldn't mind getting.
I don't know if I want a high end one. I want one that works well, but it doesn't have to be an expensive one. It doesn't have to be a really nice one. I'd like it to be kind of something I can use in classic and IPSC just for fun. You know, I would hope that I wouldn't have to spend much more on it than I've spent on my Glock, because I mean.
Oh yeah, you will. I mean, almost double, but still.
Well, I saw them recently, and I can't find them again. But somebody's bringing into Canada some. They call them Canadian made, but they're really made in the Philippines and disassembled here. But I can't remember what they're called or where they are.
Me either. They're called, yeah. But, well, the two that I would recommend would be the Rock Island Armory. That's the cheaper of the two. The other one of the two I would recommend would be the Spartan. The Spartan's $800. If you were to go to something like the Trojan, you'd spend 12 or 13.
Yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
Not for something that you're not going to use every day like the Glock.
Right, but here's the thing. If these cheap ones from the Philippines work well, kind of along the lines of the Norincos, because the Norincos work well, and I'd just get a Norinco if they came in 9mm, but I can only find them in 45, and I don't want them in 45. Because only men shoot those, and I'm not a man, apparently. I shoot 22s, so I need 9mm.
45, to shoot twice as silly.
That's right. But anyway, yeah, I mean, something that, you know, I was playing with, handling a little bit, Owen's 22 1911 while I was at his place, and just kind of fondling it a little bit. And I was, this would be kind of fun to have, you know, and it would be kind of fun to compete in IPSC with just a couple of times a year, maybe just for fun. But so
I enjoyed mine.
That's a Christmas wish list one. I don't know if I'll ever get it, but something that I'll think about. The next one is a Versamax. I'd like a Versamax for IPSC, just for IPSC though. My pump works, and for what I use my 500 for is aside from IPSC, is perfectly fine. It's great for bird hunting. It's great for rabbit hunting. It's great for whatever I use it for. But in IPSC, I felt really undergunned this year, and that lack of capacity, I think, having 9 in a semi-auto would be advantageous for competing for sure.
But if you just wanted the capacity, you could go to the 590A1 and get 9 in there.
That's true. I could do that. I like the idea of a semi-auto, though. I don't know.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Just as a side note, if I had to do it again, I think I would have went Benelli. I didn't know that, you know, there was a Benelli option with a 3.5-inch chamber, but there is. Hmm. And it's also very popular, but a bit more expensive.
Right.
But I think better quality, a bit more reliable.
Interesting. Yeah, some of the
Benelli's are nice. I mean, I haven't shot a lot of Benelli's, but I know guys who have goose guns, the Benelli Super Black Eagle, and they are really nice guns.
The M1, I think it is, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Right.
Certainly not the M4. The M4 only comes in 3-inch, so that's no good to us.
Nope, no good to us at all. Must have 9. non-restricted AR-15. That's a far ways out, I'm sure, but...
Maybe not.
It's a Christmas wish list, though, right? It can be anything I want, right? Right, so Huey or Apache helicopter, that's next. No, I'm just kidding. here's the other thing with the non-restricted AR. There might be a non-restricted option that's very much like an AR. I know there's an AR-10 that's come to Canada that's non-restricted. It's not an AR-10. It's not an AR-10. It's an AR-10 like
look-alike
gun.
Yeah. It's very. I mean, we were looking at that one night, Matt, and it's more AR-like than any other AR-like product I've seen, so to speak.
It takes all AR stuff.
XCR is supposed to be, you know, the AR look-alike, but it's not.
This one is way more AR than the XCR.
Yes. This one, except for the charging handle, this one looks just like an AR.
Yeah. So that's, you know, if they make that in 2-3, then that would be something I'd consider. But really, I really want an AR-15 non-restricted. That's just, I think we all want that. And then, go ahead.
Doesn't rumor have it that the NEA is working on a black non-restricted rifle?
Yep. That's a rumor. I've also heard a rumor that somebody's trying to get the AR-15 non-restricted, but I don't know how much of that's a pipe dream. But people have been saying that for years, right? So who knows? If that ever happens, fantastic. But until then, I think we got to look at what's coming out on the market.
I think we are going to see a move here by one of our groups to try and get some momentum in that direction with the non-restricting of the AR.
It would be nice. Yeah. And speaking of ARs, I would really like to have a 1.25 to 5 by 24 rifle scope. It's I don't remember where I saw it now, but I was looking for it before the show. It was about $500 to $600, I think. It had an illuminated reticle. The reticle was on the first focal planes, or was it the second? I can't remember. Whichever one it is, that whenever you dial the magnification, the reticle changes so that all of your subtensions work no matter what magnification you have it set at. It was just a really nice looking scope, and I think it would look amazing on a nice non-restricted AR-15. So that's why I want that. And then to top it off, and it looks like Trevor beat me to the punch. I want a VZ58 and 5.56 with an AR-15 Magwell adapter. Exactly what Trevor just bought.
Matthew.
Yeah.
Matthew, maybe this is your Christmas present from Trevor.
Oh, maybe it is. Maybe he saw my list.
Yeah, I'm just going to go ahead and say no and burst that bubble right away.
that's all I've got for a list. It's.
However, you were interested in my T97. You were like, let me know if ever you sell it. So I let you know first, but you didn't want it. So
that's not true. It wasn't that I didn't want it.
Didn't want and whatever. For whatever reason, you passed on it.
I did. But if you ever sell that VZ58 and it works, let me know.
Call me when I have money.
Yeah, tell me when I have money.
So don't, So I called you first on the T97, then I called Owen. So you're saying don't call Owen if you can't get it right away.
Right. Yeah, give me a minute or two to kind of scrounge up the change.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, that's it for me. So,
all right. So I guess that's me then.
I guess so. Trevor was supposed to say, "Owen, is it your turn?" But you know, Trevor's dropping the ball in his job.
He's out of practice.
So
clearly, yeah. Usually, I'm a better lead host than this. I'm sorry, Owen. What would you like for Christmas? come sit on Santee for latte's knee and no, never mind.
Okay. It's kind of still the same stuff I've been in the market for a while. I'm still looking for a short-barreled shotgun. You know, 18-inch.
Define short. Like, 18-inch.
18-inch barrel. You know, sort of a tactical length.
20 or under, yeah.
But traditional style, not KSG style, because you have one of those.
That's right. I do have one of those, but I'm looking for something a little bit more I don't know if versatile is the word, but anything, especially if I can put a field length barrel on it easily, like I can with a Mossberg, you know, that makes it really easy to swap back and forth and have multiple use out of it.
Right.
So I don't know, like a Maverick 88 or a Stevens 350 or I don't know.
What?
500.
The problem with the Mossberg 500 is you're going to limit yourself on capacity. All of those,
I think you
might limit yourself on capacity. Okay.
So it's not about the capacity.
It's not a competition gun. It's just something to have around the house, easy to get at and shoot stuff with.
Yep. Because I can load. I mean, I understand nothing's better than capacity. The fastest reload is the one you don't have to make. But I don't know. I can reload a shotgun pretty darn fast, and I can do it in my sleep. So right. capacity to me is not as much the issue as just something convenient, lightweight, versatile.
Why choose those brands as opposed to just going straight to the 500 or the 590?
The 500 would be fine. It tends to be a little bit more expensive, not a lot, but maybe a little more than the Maverick, for example.
The Maverick's just a 500 with a different trigger safety placement, and it's made in Mexico instead of made in the USA. I mean,
it's a little cheaper, and
it's going to be just as reliable, I would imagine. I mean,
it's a pump shotgun. I mean,
say that. I mean, look at how 870's fallen off of the mark. The new 887 pump is, there's a recall on that. How did Remington go from being one of the premier firearms manufacturers in the world to not being able to pump out pump action shotguns anymore? Yeah, when you're doing a recall on a pump action and you've been making the 870 since the 50s, wow. So to say it's a pump, well.
I guess it doesn't necessarily mean it's good.
Yeah, we've seen that Smith & Wesson thing that Jazz and Luke Giroux were running. They both couldn't wait to get rid of that thing.
Right.
And then there's a KSG. No one can get me started on that.
Which I've never had a problem with, but anyway.
That's not true. You had one stoppage so bad that gun had to be disassembled. I call that a problem.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
That was, I'm going to put that down to operator error.
Sure. Okay.
Anyway.
I've never had to disassemble my 590 to clear a malfunction.
Oh, that's true.
I've never had a malfunction.
Yeah, that's true.
Carry on. I'm sorry.
I need to replace my semi-automatic 22 that I sold, foolishly, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But I really want a Marlin 795, I've decided.
I think it's a good choice.
Yeah. So that's on my wish list. And 308 reloading dies and associated equipment.
That's a good idea, too, seeing as you're going to be reloading 308 here soon.
I'm getting the itch to sit down and do some really precise loads, and I might even clean my brass for the first time in my life.
Nice.
If you want to, I mean, cleaning the brass helps maintain the longevity of your equipment.
Yep.
Cool.
There's a nice 308 die set by Lee that is the deluxe set, I think, Owen, and it has the seating die, the full-length resizer, separately. They're not all in one. There's like a four dies in there anyway. You got your seating die, your resizing die, your collet die, and that's what it makes it the deluxe set. It comes with the neck sizing die as well.
Yeah, because that's what I would want.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's just, you know, but I mean, I have some brass that I didn't shoot, so that stuff, I've got a full-length resize.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, I don't know, with a semi, do you have to, maybe it's like the AR, you have to full-length resize it every time.
Yes, you do, and then trim it, so it's a pain in the butt.
Right.
I've got two or three sets of 308 dies here. If you just want straight, regular ones, I got a RCBS set that I can put in the mail for you anytime until you pick up your own.
Yeah, we'll see. Like I say, I'm not set up to even buy projectiles and all that yet, so I've got to
–
once I get ready to do it, I may take you up on that offer if I decide I want to start before I have a set of dies.
Cool. Let me know.
So, I'm, for whatever reason, I'm kind of getting the itch at some point to maybe this winter sit down and do some real precise. Usually it's about volume. I'm just like, crank it out. How many thousand can I do tonight? But this is more, let's see if I can do 10 tonight and really,
yeah.
Really picky. I'm even thinking about weighing cases and the whole bit. So
Yeah, it's the prep ahead of time that burns the time. Once you sit down and start doing it, I mean, like, I keep cases on hand that are pre-primed. Like, I'll go grab some cases and some my hand primer, and I'll just hand prime 100 cases while watching the TV, and then they're there. They're already, I mean, those cases are obviously been already previously resized and trimmed and all that stuff. And then, so, and I only do that with my 223 hunting rifle and my 308. So, anything else for Christmas for you, Owen?
No, I think that's it.
All right. I want to get a whole pile of 30 caliber projectiles for both 308 and 30-06. I'm just trying to, while you guys were talking, think of my firearms and what accessory or little doodad or goodie that's left that I want to put on them, and they're all pretty much done. I wouldn't mind for the NEA AR-15, a EOTech magnifier. The rest are pretty much, I need an AFG for my 22, but, I'd like to finish my bug out bag. That would be cool. I need water filtration or something to put in there. I'd like to get a case of MREs.
I wouldn't mind having an EOTech. I like to have one and just like to put it on and try it, shoot it for a bit.
I like my EOTech.
Yeah.
Me too. For me, it's the glass. You don't have that little round tube. So, a Colt SA20. I regret so much not buying that rifle that just kicking myself. I'm sure I'll like the VZ, but I've been looking at different sight mounting options and stuff like that. And before I had the red dot on the front handguard, and now they've got a BC Tactical makes a rail that takes the place of the rear sight. So it's permanent, and when you clean the gun, you don't have to take it off and then worry about re-zeroing. There's a couple other options, too. So, anyway, that's really it. I don't really have much on there, so let's,
I guess we're moving on to some our Christmas-themed email, then.
Yes, let's do that. Will you take the first one, Matthew?
I will, and this first one is not Christmas-themed. I assume we're just going to do this right out of the inbox, and we'll go from the bottom up as they arrived. So the first one is from Daniel, Dan C. from Pennsylvania. He says, "Hey, guys, great show on how to take a newbie to the range. The newbie I want to take to the range is my wife. She grew up in New Jersey and had zero exposure to firearms. She told me her only experience with firearms before meeting me was incredibly strange and funny. Well, funny to me, at least. In college, she and her sorority sisters ended up at a dive bar in the backwoods of New Jersey. Some creepy guy started hitting on them, inviting them to his trailer, and before he left their table, gave them a bullet as a gift. That's not foreboding at all. Come back to my trailer, here's a bullet. That's creepy.
That's a new level of creepy.
So he goes on, he says, they were terrified of the bullet. Not knowing what to do with it and fearing it would randomly explode, they drove to a small bridge and threw it into the water below. She explained how gently they held it, put it in the trunk, and how slowly they moved around it. Needless to say, no sorority girls were injured by the bullet. Take care, guys, Dan C.
Oh, that's great.
That's hilarious. Wow. Love it.
All right, what's our next one? I'm looking at the inbox here. Is it Justin?
The next one is 52 Tula.
Oh, we're coming from the bottom up. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll get this one. He says, hey, guys, please forward the attached XL sheets to Claus. Actually, that's just the stuff I plan on buying this month / next year, not including ammo. I already have my CZ-75B, which I'm super happy with, even though I haven't shot it yet. So my Christmas present has been bought. As for what I'd get you guys, Trevor would get antivirus software for his adult film study course that he's taking at the local college. And so it won't affect his podcast recording, if you know what I mean. I'm trying to keep it PG. Matt would get a brick of 22. Owen would get a LARPer sword or something like that. Whatever. Merry Christmas, Kyle. So Kyle's attachments. Do you have them open, Matthew?
I didn't know. Well, I went through them. I've got one here. There's just a bunch of stuff. CZ magazines, Meglula.
Eggful, Blague Tech, some 22 kits. Oh, you want some Ipset gear. Yeah.
So yeah, all kinds of stuff. We'll forward that on to Claus for you there, buddy, and he'll laugh and send it back.
Now, for the record, Kyle, it was a new laptop provided to me by the office, and it didn't have any software on it, so I didn't filthy it up. Owen, will you take the next one from, is it Tom? All I Want for Christmas?
Yes, Tom says, let's start with, first and foremost, I would like a Walther PPQ M2. In 9mm, and secondly, parts to build a distance AR. I have the lower and nothing more. Also, could Santa drop a pallet or two of good quality 22 ammo at my house? I promise I'll share. And for y'all, Matthew deserves a nicely tricked out 10/22. Yes, I know it's not one of your favorites, but you have yet to shoot Edis.
I've heard Edis is a nice one. He's gone on about it a few times on his show, and apparently it shoots real well. It works real well. You know, I'm not opposed to 10/22s. I've owned them in the past. It's just, you know, I prefer the 7.95 more. But yeah, I'll take a 10/22 if you're handing them out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is nice.
Okay, he goes on to say, Owen, as much as I would like to get him a gun, he is more deserving of a plastic sword so he can resume his LARPing career.
That's two.
Plastic sword?
I don't think there's just two either. I think there's a theme here.
Jeez. And for Ron Burgundy, I truly would like to see him receive a high-glossed wood SKS with the clip pinned to the appropriate round count and a nice 1911 with wood grips engraved with a squirrel.
I like squirrel touch.
Yes. Merry Christmas to y'all and your families. I am blessed to know y'all. Protect your nuts, Sticks. So that's from
Sticks,
yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thank you, Star.
Arm Squirrels Project.
Yeah. Merry Christmas to you guys, are looking for another show to listen to. Go check Toby and Sticks out on Arm Squirrels for sure. It's a good one.
And then listen to their show. After you check them out, listen to their show.
Yeah, you should listen to. Yeah, that'd be good if you could listen.
Are you next, Matthew, or am I?
I think I'm next.
All right.
This one is from Red, from the Redneck Ranch. And he writes, I would like these few things for Christmas if I was in Canada. One, Trevor back on the show. Well, you got it. Trevor's
You're
back
welcome.
On the show.
That was easy.
Two, pass Blaney's Common Sense Firearms Act. All right. Three, eliminate the beer tax. $70 for a flat of beer is communism.
It is. No question.
Four, give up the metric system.
You're
no.
here.
No.
No. Metric system rocks. It's so
Move
easy.
Move a decimal. Come on.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. Easy. All right. Five, teach some libs that magazine capacity it doesn't change criminal intent. I like that one. And six, send America the schematics for that extra hole on the top of the beer can. He says, since I'm not from Canada, I will just wish for everyone, including the clones, to have a safe, healthy, and happy holiday. Please continue representing gun owners in a positive light, or continue blowing up new and interesting things with Tannerite. Signed, Red from Red Ranch.
Awesome.
Very good. I like that.
This next one comes to us from the Reloading Podcast. He says, hello, guys. For Christmas, I want a pair of stainless steel Glock 22s. How is that even possible? With cherry wood grip panels engraved with a Canadian maple leaf. You are the devil. I also want a Mossberg 500 Duck Dynasty Edition. Okay, I can get behind that. I heard that Trevor wanted all wood furniture for an AR-15 in 5.7x28 with a Remington 870 attached instead of open sights on it. That's pretty much everything I want right there.
Pretty much exactly. Nailed it is what happened there. Absolutely.
Yep. Well done. That's exactly no, Mike. That's not what I want at all. Thanks
you
for coming
out. You
could
say that's the antithesis of what you want.
Yeah, exactly. Stop making up words. Whose turn is it? Owen?
It's Owen's. Skip Brian's, Owen. We're going to come back to that if we have time. It's not Christmas related, but it is interesting. So we'll come back to that, but we're on to Spencer's. Oh, and it's an audio. And I have, actually, it's my turn because I have Spencer's audio right here. So we're just going to go ahead and play that now.
Hey guys, this is Spencer from Smyrna. Figured I'd send in an audio email this time so that Matt wouldn't critique my grammar and spelling too badly. And speaking of which, Matt, I hate to tell you, but I looked it up in Oxford English Dictionary, and they say that anyways is perfectly fine as long as you are using it in an informal context. The downside is I looked everywhere else, Funkin' Wagnalls, Grammar Girl, Mignon Fogarty, and they all say, no, you can't use anyways. It's got to be anyway without the S. So I'm afraid you're correct there. I also did want to get back to you a little bit about some of the precision rifle stuff you guys have been talking about. One of the podcasts I do listen to, and one of the subjects I'm interested in, is precision rifle, long-range rifle. Not much around here in Georgia that goes out beyond a few hundred yards, but I do listen to a podcast called Precision Rifle Podcast, most appropriately. And these guys are up in Wisconsin and Minnesota, so they have lots of big, flat, empty places to go shoot. And the funny thing is, actually, they even sound more Canadian than you guys do. But anyways, they do kind of agree that the 308 is kind of the baseline cartridge for any kind of long-range shooting. But that really all the cool kids are using things like 338 Lapua and such like that, you know, 300, you know, Magnums and Win Mags and stuff like that. The things that really push a lot of speed and, you know, have nice flat trajectories, it seems to be the key. And, of course, they all have multi-$1,000 guns, and I think their cheapest scopes are, you know, the top-of-the-line Vortex at $2,000 or $3,000, and, you know, they always love the Schmittenbenders and the Night Force scopes that are $5,000 or $6,000. Very expensive sport, as you mentioned, and, you know, not something you're just going to get into with a Savage bolt action and a $200 scope. But it is, if you've got a 308 and you hand load and you can work up the right loads, you can probably do some interesting things just for fun. You probably won't win any F-class competitions, but you should be able to mess around and have good time and at least learn the basics, learn the actual mechanics of it using a very inexpensive setup. And then be ready for, if you really like it, then you can certainly graduate and start spending your mortgage money on rifles and scopes and all that good stuff that goes along with it. Last but not least, I really liked you guys' idea of having sort of a prepper's corner for Owen to talk about prepping, survival, whatever you want to call it stuff. There's plenty of survivalist shows or survival shows that have gun corners. Why not flip it around and have a gun show with a survival corner? And I think there's actually a lot of precedent there, too. It doesn't really matter what you call it, and I don't really think it. You could certainly use the word prepper. I don't think anyone's going to take offense at that. I mean, yeah, there's the whole doomsday prepper kind of thing, but it's really hard to talk about it without, you know, using the word prepper, and it seems perfectly fine. I don't think too many people get all upset about it. But yeah, that would be a great idea. Even if it wasn't every week, it would be nice to kind of have some change of topics there. And I think that's about it. Have a good time. Enjoy your Canadian winter. I do have to laugh. I love the episode a couple of weeks back about winter clothing. Just because here in Atlanta, pretty much every time it goes below 50, you see people wandering around in sort of Ice Station zebra parkas, which I always find a little bit amusing coming from Boston originally. It's usually a windbreaker for me. But although I got to admit, after being here for this long, my blood has definitely thinned out. So anyways, as usual, great shows. Keep up the good work. This is Spencer from Smyrna, signing off.
I forgot how big he sounds.
Right.
Shortly after the grammar incident, then he's talking about the 308 and he uses the word anyways.
Yeah, right away. Yeah. That's all right. I just like busting his chops, that's all.
I listened to the podcast, and it is a pretty good one as far as information is concerned to listen to when you're trying to figure out, you know, what should you do next when you're trying to get into precision rifle. I was listening to them, in particular for load development. And, we're hoping to have a precision rifle shooter on, in early January to talk about some F class and some stock making.
Yep. That'll be really cool. I can't wait for that.
Cool. All right. Who's got the next one then?
So it is Owen's turn this time now. So
okay, so now this is supposed to be read by Trevor.
Oh.
But it says to be read. I can read it if you want.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Dear Slam Fire Radio, or sorry, Dear Slam Fire Santa. I've been a good, and then in brackets he puts evil, clone trooper all year long.
Gee, I wonder who this is from.
I've even managed to recruit someone who can shoot really good to the dark side. The thing I like the most. The thing I like the most for Xmas this year is a non-restricted black rifle.
Me too.
Something I could use at the three-gun shoots and for varmint hunting would be really great, Santa. Not that I'm actually going to go hunting. It's cold and dirty out in the woods. Yuck.
Get your white suit all dirty.
That's right. As for gear, Santa, all I really want is a helmet, just like the stormtroopers in the new Star Wars movie are equipped with. Santa, could you also please bring Owen, the warrior, a set of Lucretia segmentata, a scutum, a galli, a pilum, and a nice sharp gladius? Not because he needs them, but it'll be really funny to hear Trevor try to read Latin on the show.
See, that's why Trevor was supposed to read it.
Diligentia vis caeritas. I can pronounce Latin.
Santa, I think you should bring Matt a tuxedo, a Walther PPK with shoulder holster, and a suppressor, because we all know he really wants to be James Bond.
Deal.
Lessons on how to speak with a good fake Scottish accent wouldn't hurt either.
Yes, I know it's terrible.
Santa, as for Trevor, what could you get for that guy, or for the guy that's owned about half the guns in New Brunswick? I think you need to go really big, Santa, and have Bill C-68 revoked, suppressors legalized, and vegetarianism banned. P.S. Santa, please give Brian Bolivar enough self-esteem so that he doesn't have to keep crashing other people's podcasts to make himself feel good. Also, because Thomas Donnelly to have an unfortunate lightsaber incident that removes all his figures so he stops bugging me on Facebook.
The boys are getting vicious on Facebook.
Oh, I tell ya. Anyway, he finishes off with "The Empire rocks, filthy." So
there you go.
That's funny.
Yeah,
I'll take that tuxedo and the Walther PPK and the shoulder holster and suppressor. That's a great idea. I don't know what you're getting on because I don't read Latin. I might be able to say some of the words, but I'm pretty sure I can't. And I know what a gladius is. That's a sword of some sort, right?
Yes.
That's all I know.
Yeah, it's all a set of art. Lucretia segmentata is the body armor they wore. Scutum is the shield. I'm not sure what a galia that must be the headpiece. Pylum is the spear they carried, and Gladius is the sword.
Cool.
Man, Filthy, you're letting your nerd show again.
Big time. So you guys think I'm like a LARPing nerd. You should listen to him when he gets going.
Oh, I know. I went to a comic book shop with him. He's all kinds of nerd.
Oh, yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nope. I was happy to go. All right. Ready for the next one?
Bring it.
This comes to us from our buddy Mark, who's wondering where his brass is right now that I was supposed to deliver to Owen at Filthy's party. Well, sorry, Mark. Merry Christmas, Casey. Just in case he forgot, I thought I'd bring it up. Merry Christmas to the Slamfire Radio crew, even Trevor, if he decided the listeners were worthy this week.
Only barely. Barely. Yeah.
All of them but you, buddy. First off, I would like my son to get a 1911 frame for Christmas so he can start his build-a-gun project. Marstar doesn't have any, so hopefully Santa does.
That's a good idea. I mean, we've always talked about building an AR, but you could build a 1911.
Yep, absolutely.
That'd be kind of fun, actually.
And I think it's probably the next easiest build as opposed to an AR. You know, you can build Frankenstein ARs. You don't. Your upper and your lower don't have to match. The upper parts kit, the lower parts kit. There's so many different manufacturers of parts. Same as a 1911. You can get one frame from one company, one upper from another company, or that upper but slide, rather, a barrel
it's
from
still
another.
An upper. It's basically an upper.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't there only 19 parts in a 1911 or something like that?
23. Yeah.
23? I don't know. There's not very many. Like,
there aren't. From what I hear, there's less in a 1911 than there is in a Glock. Is that true or not true?
They're almost the same, actually. I'm looking at the blown-up picture that Filthy sent me.
I'm looking at the same thing, too. Now, I was going to start counting the parts, but I'm pretty sure there's more than potatoes, so I'm sure I can't.
Right. So Mark carries on. He says, I would like to get the Lee Hand Press Kit. Don't do that. Get the RCBS so I can start reloading. It may take a lot longer to reload with this press, but my time is cheap. So will your quality of ammo be. Just ask my boss. Oh, And how about a couple of legal 17-round mags for my K100? Wouldn't that be nice? All right. For Matthew, I would get the world's finest partridge call. I would get the world's finest partridge call so he can finally join everyone else in hunting partridge and a drum magazine for his Marlin 795.
Perfect, because if I can start calling them in, I'll need 75 rounds in my 795 to take them all out. So that's a great idea. I don't know what a partridge sounds like, but I'm... Well, if you could send a grouse call, that'd be even better. But I know you did that on purpose, so shut it, Mark. And, yeah, thanks.
For Owen, I would get some ammunition for his antique revolver, the kind that goes through targets and doesn't just bounce off. I would also get Owen the one thing he has the least of, time. Time to get to the range shooting, time to get some IPSC matches, time for hunting, and most importantly, time to get me Trevor's brass. Don't think I've forgotten about that, McClatchy.
What are you blaming me for? What'd I do?
It's all me. Sorry, Mark. We will get you that bucket of brass.
That was
for Trevor. For Trevor, I would get a Colt carbine chambered in 7.62x39, covered in not wood, but genuine Saskatchewan sealskin. I was excited for a second. I'm like, somebody's actually being considerate for a change. Well, I would love a Colt carbine chambered in 7.62x39. I would also get Trevor off the North Korean spy watch list so they'll stop messing with his computer. Isn't that right? For Huawei? Oh, man. And don't even get me started on that whole interview movie being pulled because they're afraid of attacks. What a pile of crap. Anyway, thanks, guys, for another great year of shows, and have a safe and happy new year for you and your families. Same to you, Mark, and your son, Justice, and to the wife, whose name we don't know.
And his other son.
Oh, he's got more than one?
Yeah, he's got two sons, I think. Oh. And the other one's named, like, Marcus or something.
Right. Yes. All right. So, yeah, there you go. I left somebody out. Now I'm
good
back.
For you. Now people are going to get angry.
And Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to your whole family.
There you go. That covers it.
All right. Take the next one.
Oh, it's my turn. The next one is, we're going to jump up to Tim because that other one there wasn't Christmas related. So we'll come back to that one. This one's from Tim, writes, Dear Slamfire hosts, Merry Christmas. Hope you and your loved ones have a safe and fun holiday season. Now that we have that out of the way, let's talk guns. First, I listen to your show on Fridays at work, as it's interesting to listen to all the gun stuff that we as law-obeying firearms owners enjoy, and also the joking around keeps me from wanting to hang myself from the rafters since my job can get tedious at times. Well, I'm glad that we're helping you with prolonging your life. So, whoo, put that on the resume. All right, okay, now for my top 5 Christmas wish list for guns is 5. Glock mags and mag parts, especially followers that I keep breaking them on the ground during IPSC competitions. Ooh. Okay. Good to know.
How tall is this guy that he's dropping his mags from?
They keep really breaking. an IWI Tavor or a short-barreled AR-15 from Danlo Defense or a pterodactyl. You want a dinosaur?
Get it?
I get it.
Mulcair.
Yes. Mulcair. ammo. Lots and lots of ammo. Basically a 53-footer of 22 Dynapoint and 9mm 147 grain full metal jacket. I am using a Glock after all. Look, I agree with that. Dynapoint, 22 Winchester Dynapoint, that's some really good ammo. Whenever Jewel wants to shoot for groups out of her 795, that stuff produces, I mean, for bulk ammo, I mean, it's not high-end stuff, but for bulk ammo, that stuff works really well. The next, he says, a Glock 19 with a real Glock 19 barrel, not one that the Canadians are forced to have because, you know, a 14.17-inch barrel is so much safer than a 4-inch one. I don't understand that either. And number one thing he'd like to have is an SKS, the pterodactyl hunting model, with a wooden stock, with a Norinco 1911 attached to the bottom, just like a grenade launcher, with wooden grips as well. Has Trevor's head exploded yet? If not, I can continue. Just kidding. Really, the number one thing to have would be proper gun laws in Canada and for the government to stop treating us like criminals. Thank you all for your time, and no, you will never get the brain cells back you just burned on this email. Well, thank you, Tim. That was good. I like the pterodactyl hunting SKS. That's a great idea.
I concur.
Yeah. I concur.
I also concur.
And all right. We've all concurred now.
Well, do we have time to go back and read the other ones, or are we finishing
I think
up?
So. Yeah, let's. We have one from Brian, and he's talking, and we're not going to read the whole thing because, as he says, this is not for the show because it's too wordy. But he just says, not sure. Sorry, he says, Matt, your comment on 22 bullets is interesting. I had not considered that, and I don't have an explanation as to why this can be accurate. While centerfire projectiles slowing through the sound barrier are not. I'm intrigued now, though. Things that make me go, hmm. So, listeners, what do you guys know about transonic? I'm talking basically to 10X here, basically. So, 10X. Break out your external brain. Ballistics book and your brain and your physics and your fluid dynamics and all those other things. Why is it that a 22 bullet can be accurate as it passes through a transonic shockwave, but centerfire seem not to be? So, I don't know. So, it's just something from Bolivar thought that was interesting to talk about, and maybe some listeners have some ideas as to why that is good or why that's possible. Either of you have any feedback on that?
No, I did read the email, I listened to all the shows, and I got lost at rimfire. I was like, what? Oh, this doesn't matter. And I moved on to other things. I went back to picking a scab or something like
that. That sounds whatever. Right.
Yeah. That was your nose.
Yeah.
The scab in my nose.
Yes, exactly.
All right, well, there's one more here from Justin. Know. So whoever wants to read it from Justin can do that, and then we can talk about it, and then we'll move on to some other fun stuff, I guess.
All right.
Do you want me to read that, or do you want to read it?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, Justin says, I have spent hours trying to figure out which 22 long rifle I want to get. I have finally decided on the 10/22 for several reasons, one being the apparent excess of mods and another being several recommendations. Now my question is, which 10/22 should I get? On the Cabela's website alone, there are 11 different choices. The aesthetics of the rifle isn't that big of a deal for me, but the accuracy and price are important. Already eliminated the takedown version. I plan on using this rifle for a combination of plinking and shooting vermin. I would like to be able to reach out to 100 yards with pretty good accuracy, but by this time I think Trevor is already half asleep. So let's
nope,
throw in
not at all.
So let's throw in an SKS question here.
Oh, yeah, I'm gone.
He says, have I raised Trevor's blood pressure yet? I would like to thank you for taking the time to answer my question. P.S. I also have a question about transporting non-restrictive firearms across provincial borders. Is there anything special that I would need to know in order to do this?
Cool. Two good questions there.
I'm going to grab the transporting non-restricted over the border.
All right. Why don't you do that then?
Of course, our default answer is always check with the province you're going to. For example, here in New Brunswick, it's a little known fact that the DNR wants us to have an ATT of sorts for our non-restricted firearms, because why are we driving around with them if we're not hunting or going to a gun range? Our gun club actually is stamped with some gibberish that speaks to the effect of our card, our gun club membership card, is our non-restricted. Here we go. This card is your authorization from DNR to transport non-restricted firearms from your residence to a certified shooting range or organized shooting event in New Brunswick, which I didn't want them to put that on the card. I said, you guys are basically giving in to them. You're allowed to take your non-restricted gun into the woods and shoot it. But here in New Brunswick, if you're shooting a gun in the woods and it's hunting season, you could
even
get
if it's not hunting season, you're hunting.
If it's hunting season and you're not hunting and you don't have a license, you could be accused of poaching, even though you're perfectly legal to be in the woods with your non-restricted firearm. Isn't that what non-restricted means? There are no restrictions on them.
That's right.
Anyway, so because DNR in New Brunswick is funny like that, you may want to advise them ahead of time, and they may actually provide you with an ATT. I had a friend travel my hunting rifle from my hometown to my university town once, and he had to get a piece of paper from DNR just in case he was stopped. So we don't follow it in New Brunswick, but DNR wants us to follow it. So they even want us to have some kind of permit for transporting a non-restricted firearm. So keep those little nuances in mind. Every province is different. call the province you're going to and say, hey, I'm bringing my non-restricted in. Is there anything I need?
Yeah, and it's easy enough to do. I mean, you could call that province's CFO. They would know. You could call their hunting, the Minister of Natural Resources, like send them an email or something. That's the best bet, is to do something like that, just to make sure, because you don't want to get in trouble.
You get an overzealous ranger or cop. Well, a cop's not going to bother you as long as you have your license. They don't worry about DNR's rules.
No, and here's the thing. According to federal law, you don't need to worry about anything. As long as you only are dealing with the RCMP and not dealing with forest rangers, as far as they're concerned, if you have a firearms license, you're non-restricted firearm. You can have it with you anywhere you want in Canada. It's yours. Yeah. It's a non-restricted. It's not restricted in any way. So, you know, obviously don't do stupid things with it, like have it out in public, you know, in downtown somewhere. That's just dumb. But, you know, you can legally take that with you. You're moving from, you know, Ontario to Saskatchewan to hunt seals, apparently. You know, just throw it in the car and make sure it's in a case, and off you go. And technically, if you're in the car with it, it doesn't even need to be in the case. It just needs to be unloaded. But, like Trevor said, if you start running across, you know, forest rangers or wardens or whatever, I mean, they may have different laws. You know, you got to know the province's hunting laws is probably where you'd probably want to check first. That will probably give you your best idea.
Mm-hmm.
So,
cool.
The 1022, which 1022 should he get? I'd say get one of them Ruger ones.
They're all pretty much the same. I wouldn't even worry about the accuracy of the takedown. I shot the takedown and I didn't see any difference in accuracy from the takedown to the non-takedown model.
It's a really well-designed system. It locks in tight. I mean, if you want the gun to come apart, I don't see any downside to it. But, I mean, if you've eliminated it for other reasons, then you've eliminated it. So don't get it if you don't want it.
So at that point, then, just get the barrel length you want. And then if you want to accurize it, you're going to have to replace the barrel. You know, it's the only thing. Yeah, it's true. The barrel is the lifeblood of the rifle's accuracy, right? So if you're not satisfied with your 1022's accuracy, the only thing you really do is put on a Volkwartzen barrel.
Depending on which level of accuracy you're looking for. I mean, a lot of accuracy can be picked up just by putting a better trigger in it. And Ruger just came out with a new target trigger.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look into that. Look into their target trigger. See how much that's going to be and if they're shipping to Canada yet. So that would be something to look at. Like Trevor said, if you're going, you know, balls to the wall accuracy here, you are probably going to be replacing the barrel. And good news, replacing the barrel is super easy. It's two Allen keys and that's it, a little bit of time. You know, there's all kinds of aftermarket barrels out there. So, you know, decide on which one you want there. But if you want something that's completely stock from Ruger, and you're looking for accuracy, I don't know what to tell you. Go with, you know, just your standard 18.5-inch barrel. Maybe you want a bull barrel. I don't know. What do you want it for? Carrying for shooting.
He said shooting at 100 meters and vermin.
And vermin. So yeah, you probably don't want like a 24-inch bull barrel because that would weigh about 24 pounds.
Yeah, but it would still be on a 22, man. I mean,
I hear you, but if it's going to be for, well, if shooting vermin, usually you sit there in a field with a bipod, right? I mean, that's kind of how you did it, didn't you, Trevor, when you were out?
Yep.
So, you know, maybe a heavier gun would be fine. Bull barrel is going to give you better accuracy over a standard barrel. I mean, that's traditionally accepted anyway, so I don't know what to tell you.
I think that's it. I mean, get a trigger first and then a barrel.
Right.
What does he have an SKS question or something?
No. That was just fake. Yeah, just get the one that you like. Get the one that looks good. Get the one, you know, the style of stock that you want. A note, if you want to be accurate and stay accurate, make sure you lock tight the threads whenever you put the scope rail on, because that will work itself loose if you don't. At least mine did. Little tip.
Pro tip.
Little pro tip from somebody who doesn't own a 1022, but used to.
I used to own that one. That was my advice from him, is get a Ruger 1022, shoot it for a while, doesn't matter what kind, shoot it for a while, and sell it and get a $7.95.
And get a
And I can say that because I don't own either one.
That's right.
Anymore.
Yeah.
And I own the Remington, so.
And the Remington's good too. I mean, I liked it. I got lucky with mine. The trigger is really nice on yours.
Yeah, I put the Volkwartz and Hammer and the M Carbo spring kit.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I forgot M Carbo made a spring kit for the 597.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. All right, we got any other emails? Or is that the last one?
Do not. That is it.
All right. So now are we ready to jump into? I didn't check for an iTunes because I wasn't even supposed to be here tonight. Did anybody?
I didn't check for an iTunes. All right. So we're going to assume there isn't one. So
right.
Now is the time where we tell you to go leave us one because come on.
No, now is the time where I back up and go. And to our listeners, remember, if you want to email us, it's send the email to slamfireradio@gmail.com.
And I'd just like to take a minute and thank everybody who sent in emails this week. When I first read them, they had me laughing.
You had no idea. I had to mute my mic while some of these were being read because I was just killing myself, busting a gut here. So yeah,
they were good. We can always count on you guys. We got some awesome listeners, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to 10X. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, he was supposed to send in an audio submission. I think he had some special guests over and had some Christmas messages for us. So maybe if he does get those in, maybe we can do like a special 10X show. Just be real quick. It'd be like outtakes or something. I'll post it up on Facebook if he does so you guys can hear what he sends in if he does.
Yeah, there you go. So you've been called out.
Yeah, 10X. And tell us about transonic shockwaves on bullets because that'd be fun too.
All right, do we have any shout-outs?
Yes. I have a shout-out to Pete. Pete is my boss's husband. So I'm at work the other day, and my boss, her name's Tammy, and she's like, so I was up this morning, and I had to ask my husband, why do I hear Matthew's voice? So anyway, I wanted to give a shout out to Pete. Pete's a guy who lives close by. He lives in Maine, so across the border. From what I understand, he's in the market or has recently purchased his first handgun. So that's cool. Apparently he's a listener. So thanks for listening, Pete. And like I said before, you ever want to go to the range, just let me know. Come on over. We'll go to the range. We'll shoot whatever you like. Or I should go over there.
And not have to worry about a range.
That's right. We can shoot wherever we want if I come over there. And we can open carry if you like. Because Maine's cool like that. So yeah, Pete, you should be inviting me over so we can go over and shoot guns out in the woods or something. Or at the range, whatever. Oh, good.
Cool.
So that's mine.
All right. I've got one to Filthy for setting up the tour of the museum. And to Filthy's buddy who gave us the tour. Words cannot describe this for me as a firearms enthusiast. This was a once in lifetime opportunity. Realistically, I don't know about you guys, but I don't ever expect to ever be around that many cool guns in one close proximity at the same time ever again. Beyond bucket list item checked off. So I appreciate you guys taking the time and making yourselves available and letting me have that experience. It means a lot to me. So thank you very much.
I concur. I would concur with that had I been there this time, but from last time when I was there the first time, you know, similar sentiments for sure.
Yes. Yeah, it was pretty neat. I mean, I'm not a real huge aficionado of surplus firearms, or not surplus, but like...
Antique and historical
stuff. I mean, there was a lot of stuff there I looked at and went, uh-huh, that's a gun.
But, yeah, I did that with a few things, no question.
But there was some pretty neat stuff there, though. Yeah, got to handle some pretty neat things.
Any other shout-outs for you, Owen?
Nope, no shout-outs.
All right. Well, then this week, listeners, we have a favor to ask you. Our favor would be if all those who listen to us on the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network, if you could please send us an email or Facebook message to let us know that you listen to our show through the network. We don't have any good way of tracking how many listeners we have for, you know, whether or not we're getting 2,000 a week or 3,000 a week. We're not really sure. We don't know. So in particular, we're trying to nail down how many listeners we have through the network. So if you want to continue listening to us here, then please contact us before January 1st and let us know. Be sure to check out all of the other great shows on the Reno Viola Outdoor Web Radio Network at renoviolaoutdoors.com. They have lots of great shows, outdoor shows, So if you like being outside, go check them out. You can hear this show, our show, Flat and Fire Radio. You can hear it on the network Fridays at 1 p.m. and 10 p.m. and Mondays at 1 a.m. because there's nothing better to do at Monday morning at 1 a.m. than listen to Slam Fire Radio.
That's right.
Also,
I set my alarm by it. I
mean, oh, and I keep telling you, after you record it, when you listen to it, it's going to be the same. There's no new material.
Oh.
You're there.
I keep thinking you guys are going to sneak something in, you know, after I'm done.
No, we take stuff out. We don't put anything in. I noticed that a particular 1911-22 rant got cut because of time. And I'm going to find a way to work that back in.
That would be good. Yeah, you should do that.
Yeah. Also, be sure to check out the Crusader Podcast Network at crusaderpodcast.com. It's the first international pro gun podcast network. Every show there is dedicated to protecting our rights as gun owners, no matter what side of the border you live on. And also, this is a biggie, don't forget to join join both of our National Firearms Associations. They're the National Firearms Association and the Canadian Shooting Sports Association. Be sure to check us out on Gun Owners of Canada. We have our own little room over there, if you will, and you can pop in and sit down, have a chat with us in our room over there. Got our own little corner of GOC. Happy time, slam fire goodness. All right. Like us on Facebook because we're at 1088.
And, 1090.
We're at 1090 because Matthew didn't update this since
just
the 4th
now.
Of
if
December.
You check it right now, you see it's been updated.
I'm not,
that's
though.
Okay.
I'm not
that's
reading.
That's cool. Don't worry about it. No, it's good. Yeah.
All right. I'm sitting 6 feet away from the show notes, right. And they're kind of hard to see. So
understood.
Work with me.
Okay.
All right. So until next time, everybody. Thank you for listening, and on behalf of Slam Fire Radio, have a very, very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Okay, now, this is our Christmas song, in case you don't know what to get somebody for Christmas.
There's lots of ideas in here, so listen and don't get stuck.
Okay.
By the way, that's me on the organ.
Oh, geez.
You start.
Okay. On the first day of Christmas, my true love gave to me a beer.
On the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two turtlenecks
and a beer. Okay, good. On the third day of Christmas, my true love gave to me three French toasts,
two turtlenecks
and a beer.
Okay, that should be more there, right?
Where? Go.
Fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 4 pounds of back bacon,
three French toasts,
two turtlenecks,
and a beer
in a tree.
See, yeah. More. The fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 golden toques,
4 pounds of back bacon,
three French toasts,
two turtlenecks,
and a beer
in a tree.
Okay, on the sixth, the golden
Christmas, my true love gave to me 6 packs of 2 quarters,
5 golden toques.
4 pounds of back bacon,
3 French toasts,
2 turtlenecks,
and a beer
in a tree.
Okay. On the seventh day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 7 packs of smoke.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, 6 packs of two.
5 golden toques.
4 pounds of back bacon,
3 French toasts,
2 turtlenecks,
and a beer
in a tree.
I keep forgetting.
Okay. This should just be the 2 days of Christmas. It's too hard for us. Go, Hoser.
Oh, 8 day Christmas, the true love gave to me
8 comic books,
7 packs of smokes, 6 packs of 2 for 5.
5 golden toes, 4 pounds of back bacon, 3 French toes, 2 turtlenecks,
and a beer on the way. Yeah, that beer is empty. Okay, day 12.
Good day, and welcome to day 12.
Yeah.
5 golden toes, 4 pounds of bag, 3 French toast, 2 turtlenecks, and a beer.